Hello and welcome to Top of the Progs on Smile Radio and also broadcasting on and in association with Progzilla for this week's Radiola Show. You're currently listening to Neon Magic by Camel. I hope you enjoy it. That was the great Neon Magic by Camel from their very underrated album, I Can See Your House From Here. Anyway, hello and welcome to Top of the Progs, Smile Radio, and also broadcasting on and in association with Progzilla Radio. Now, I have a special guest with me. He is the guest who now has appeared the most times on this show. You've beat out Charlie Bramald.
Good morning.
This is the one and only Patrick Spillane, my bandmate in the Exotic Isis Project, ex-Big Rooster Jeff.
Hello, everyone.
We're going to go through a bunch of songs that we kind of both enjoy, show each other some tracks, and...
Well, it's a significant show. We've just finished recording the initial debut album for the Exotic Isis Project.
Yep.
And this is the first time I've had credited vocals.
Yep.
And I'm absolutely terrified.
Yep, we've just recorded Pat's lead vocals for the song, which was inspired by his own personal life, which don't want to give too much away to anyone who's not heard it, but it was a lot of fun. But yeah, we're going to go through some tracks, we're going to just bounce them back and forth. And what were you going to say about that song by Camel, by the way? It sounds like...
So the sort of end of each verse sounds very much like Alice Cooper of School's Out. It's the same vocal. And as soon as... I think that's probably why I liked it, because familiar at the time.
It's like Happy Pink Floyd with the bass line in it. Dun, dun, dun,
ding, 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 ding. It's very Pink Floyd.
Yeah. So we're gonna back and forth song each until the end. We've got some good stuff. We've got the Goblin Banger.
Undercover bangers.
We've got one banger coming up which we couldn't find last time, but we've now found. But first up, unfortunately, so I showed you that Marillion last time. You liked it, but you weren't very sold on it.
Yeah.
And I think it's the reason is because the first vocalist, Fish, just sounds too much like Peter Gabriel, and he's a bit too twee. So I'm going to play you one now with the second vocalist, Steve Hogarth.
I'm ready.
It's a bit heavier, it's a bit more melodic, and it's a bit more technical. It's got more kind of oomph behind it, if that makes sense.
I think I'm ready.
It's like a different band, so I hope you enjoy. This is The King of Sunset Town by Marillion. This is actually really good.
I'm the king of sun.
What did you think?
Yeah, no, I did actually secretly like that one. Like the thing is, it was the problem is when prog went to the 80s and so on, it all went a bit soft and it's all a bit weak. Mm-hmm. But that had some decent, you know, timey bits to back it up.
Yeah, like it's got.
You know what I mean? Like just like you listen to Asia and you think, well, it's not what it was before. Asia was good. And it was very American and it catered to the needs of the American pop culture rather than ours. Mm-hmm. And not saying we're snobby or anything with our music, you know, especially not me. that was like on the brink of being very British and American at the same time.
Yeah, it's got that thing, hasn't it, where it's like, it's got all the bits in it, like it's got the prog timey bits, but it's also quite catchy. Like the verses are very American, aren't they?
And the fact that it went to ding, 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 with the four still in the background.
Yeah.
You're nodding to the four, but it's still ding, 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 ding.
Yeah.
That's just a drummer thing, I believe.
But that's another one. He plays a lot like you does the Marillion drummer, even though you've never listened to him before, just like the Devo guy. When we listened to the Devo, I said, oh, that sounds like a Pat Phil, even though we've never listened to him.
It is funny, as a musician that sort of, I only sort of know how I play, and people say, you sound like this. And you listen back and you go, I do, but I thought that I'd figured that out.
Yeah.
A bit like when David Gilmour thought he'd figured Dadgad out.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, he was recording his guitar for a particular song.
Yeah.
And he put a tune in that he thought no one else had ever done it. It's D-A-D-G. You know, so Dadgad.
Yeah, yeah.
And, there we go. He was wrong.
Yeah.
And that was David Gilmour.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I'm struggling to find Goblin by Goblin once again.
But you have to take it. Right, okay, so I'll tell you what instead.
Should we have a secret banger? We've got to have another secret banger while I find Goblin by Goblin.
Yes, well, I was going to say Platinum 4, North Star. So, obviously, Platinum by Mike Oldfield is four tracks all put together.
Mm.
And the last bit is the best bit, of course it's going to be.
Yeah.
And I bought it on record recently and I'd only heard the first two tracks properly all the way through, the whole song one side.
Yeah.
And it was, it changed me, it was very interesting.
I've got the single for this. I've got the Woodhenge on the single. I bought it from a charity shop for 20p a few years ago.
The other side is not as good.
Is it? So this is Platinum 4 / North Star by our boy Mike Gordon Oldfield.
Thank you.
That was really good. I quite enjoyed that. I don't think I've ever heard that before. I think I must have heard it at one point in your car, but I can't remember it very
well. Mike Oldfield did a few pop bangers, like, you know, Family Man and sort of Foreign Affair and all that, where it was 3 minutes of bliss. But this is the fourth track at the end of a four-part side.
Mm.
And it was the only song that I've ever put on that people actually sort of like... Sometimes you're at a party or in the car or whatever, you put a song on and everyone just sort of shuts up for a minute.
Yeah, yeah.
And you realise, everyone stopped talking, it's because the song's on. And this song is so easily accessible.
Mm-hmm.
It gets on a bit and so on, you know, like you can imagine. But in the psychedelic world and in the musical world and the child world, it takes it so far. And when Dad showed us Mike Oldfield as a child, it's like, I don't know, a childish bliss. That's sort of what it has about it.
Yeah, I think what's interesting about that is he doesn't use synthesizer pads, he uses choirs. You know, where other people would use, like, synthesized choirs, you can tell that choir going through it's an actual group of people, isn't it?
What was it we used on Farino?
Mellotron,
yeah. Mellotron, you know.
But it does make a big difference, because you can definitely tell on that, you can hear, like, everyone breathing in, and you can definitely tell it's actual people, and that makes it quite interesting.
Yeah, the thing is, you get a Mike Oldfield record.
Yeah.
And you think, oh, it's Mike Oldfield, and then look at the credits. Bloody hell, there's a lot of people.
Yeah. Who drummed on that, do you know? Did you ever look it up?
I did, but it wasn't.
Is it not anyone famous?
The reason you've asked that question is because I told you I bought QE2 on record, and Phil Collins is on it.
Yeah.
It's because Phil Collins played on one of my most favourite songs ever off QE2.
Yeah.
Just as we did with Wait, the album earlier. I Can See Your House From Here.
Yeah.
Phil Collins is credited on that album, but it doesn't say why.
Yeah, he's just percussion, isn't he? So it's a bit ambiguous what he actually does.
Maybe he might have just barretted and he was just there for a
barretted. Okay, so Goblin and Goblin is queued up, but until then, we have, of course, the best prog band ever at Genesis, of course.
I'm afraid. Oh, sorry.
But yeah, so this is, as a bit of context, this is the first song Genesis did without Peter Gabriel, so it was a very important song, you know, like it had to land, basically. So it was almost like they were trying so hard that they had to make a really good song.
I'm sure that was a Darkness song coming to land.
You what?
Oh no, it was Badly Drawn Boy coming to land. Enjoy.
Yeah, this was the first one without Peter Gabriel, so they felt the pressure that they had to be really good and prove themselves, and I hope you hear that in the track. This is Dance on a Volcano by good old Genesis.
crosses are blue. Your friends didn't make it through. Cracking mother earth, blazing heart, the molten rock spills out over the land. And the love is the lover who licks your boots away. You don't want to fall as well, but better start the dance. Do you want to dance?
Yeah, the first Genesis song without Peter Gabriel.
So I'd like to put in at this point.
Okay.
What year was that?
76.
What year was Cinema Show?
73.
So 3 years later in the 77. That was definitely Cinema Show, but...
I think so.
Dun, 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 dun.
Well, I'll tell you what, that whole song's in 7-4, so it's that same 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 1, 2, 3. Yeah, that...
To be fair, we only listen to Cinema Show to listen to...
The keyboard solo, yeah. The rest of the song's rubbish.
When the obnoxious synth comes in... Boom.
No,
I've just remembered. I figured out my last song. Obviously, we're going on to Goblin now.
Well,
that's the sound of a massive tin of beer being drank.
Yeah, we've got 1 liter tins of beer. Well, it was. It's a really. I feel like if you listen to that and you weren't a Genesis fan, you wouldn't realise anything was missing. You know, if you put on like.
Yeah, true. Yeah. True,
like absolutely. It just sounds like like the same.
I've said
it?
To you before that Gaby boy.
Yeah.
And, you know your man.
Yeah.
Professor Bald. Is it that they do have very similar sort of shrillness to the voice?
Yeah.
And you can replace Peter, you know, for Paul, if you will.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So tell
pay
us about
Paul to pay Peter.
Right, the important stuff now. Tell us about Goblin.
So Goblin, obviously, they were a band from the '70s. You've did a bit before with Connections from Contamination.
Yeah.
They were an Italian band that were very sort of heavily influenced by Western progs, such as Floyd and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And they wrote soundtracks for horror films.
Yeah.
And you can pick out the best ones. But the first album they did was a showcase of who they are and what they can do.
Yeah.
This is Goblin by Goblin mm-hmm. from the album Roller, and I think this is 1975 or 6, just because you've obviously found it.
Yeah.
It's a good one. It goes from one place to another and then again.
Awesome. This is Goblin by Goblin.
Thank you.
That was very interesting. It was a song.
The record company at the time said, basically, give us a song, mate. You've got all you have.
Yeah.
And, we did cut a bit out at the beginning and the end, but it's a concerto of what they can do.
No, there is some really good bits in that.
The drum rolls are incredible.
Yeah. You know that thing where it's going, digga, 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 the guy who kind of started that was Billy Cobham from Mahavishnu Orchestra. He's the guy, like, just before Phil Collins and the Goblin guy, those are the guys who cite him as, like, the guy who first did those, like...
32s on a 16.
Yeah, doing that digga-da-digga-da-brrrr thing.
You have to start on a 16 to do a 32. Yeah.
God, we sound like Ren. No, there's some really good bits in that. As we pointed out at the beginning, it was very similar to Tubular Bells, but it kind of went somewhere.
But literally, the record company said, just make a track where you're just doing what you do.
Yeah.
Because all the other songs are recordings for horror soundtracks.
Yeah.
What have you got?
I've got a bit of King Crimson, but 70s King Crimson with Bill Bruford and John Wetton.
Wetty
boy. Yeah, good old John Wetton.
Ender.
This is a really good one from Starless and Bible Black. It's one of those, it's a nice ballad, but then it gets really kind of heavy towards the end.
I know the one.
You know the one?
I'm ready.
It's Lament from Starless and Bible Black. It's a right song.
I guess I tried to show you how I take the crowd with my guitar, and businessmen would clap their hands and clip another fat cigar, and publishers would spread the news and print my music far and wide. All the kids who played the blues would learn my licks with a bottleneck slide. Now it seems the bubbles burst, though you know there was a time. Love songs gathered in my head, poetry in every line. Strong men strove to hold the doors, with my friends I passed that reach. People stomped on dirty floors before I trod rock and roll stage. We'll be right back.
That was Lament by King Crimson. I quite like that.
Yeah, the thing is, I've heard that song a few times.
Yeah.
And never have I made the comparison of John Wetton sounding like Greg Lake. He probably tells you, you're saying this before, but not before.
Yeah, yeah.
The words aren't right. But.
See, what's quite cool is that the ending of that is like an 80s King Crimson song. So that dun 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 dun. That's an 80s King Crimson song. So, but just if they took that one bit and built a song around it, that'd be an 80s King Crimson song.
When I used to go to the cinemas as a child and they had that song, it was like da 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 da.
Yeah, yeah. The Pearlin Dean theme.
I also used to think that was the same as 21st Century Skin. Like, I always thought it was a similar sort of riff.
Yeah, yeah.
I've realised how much time we have left, so I've changed my choice.
Yeah.
Just because it's ideal. So Iron Maiden, before Bruce Dickinson started singing for him, they had a bloke called Paul Di'Anno.
Yeah.
I was in a pub when I was a young boy. I was about 15 at the time. And this song came on, I had to ask a bloke. I said, what song is this?
Yeah.
And it's Phantom of the Opera by Iron Maiden.
Yeah.
And it's off the first album with Paul Di'Anno. And it just, it starts and you think, oh, it's just some fucking rock song. Some bloody rock song. There's a beeping to go on here. It's just some bloody rock song. And then all of a sudden it changes and you're like, yeah, where did we go from here? Turn all the lights down now. Which is Blink with it too. But this will fill us to the end, I hope. You'll probably squeeze a little bit more in.
Yeah.
Yeah, Phantom of the Opera, here we are. Okay. This is the prog song from 1981.
Yeah.
But it's Iron Maiden.
Enjoy.
I hope you enjoy it. You're lying. We'll be right back.
So why was the original singer fired? What was the...
So apparently the story goes, you had Paul Di'Anno singing for Iron Maiden.
Yeah.
I think this was 1979 or 1980. Yeah, yeah. And apparently Bruce Dickinson, was in the audience. Bruce Dickinson, who looked like Mark Shipman. He was in the audience. Milk Shipman.
Yeah.
And he was in the audience, and apparently Bruce Dickinson went up to the band and said, I know what you're doing, I like what you're doing, I think I can do it better.
Oh, really?
And apparently they pushed Paul Di'Anno out, and that's how Iron Maiden become what everyone else
knows. Yeah,
but the album is really so much better and different. It hits a different vibe to every other... They've got the dueling guitars, but that just went to different places constantly.
Yeah.
Constantly.
Well, we've got time for one more song. I think we'll agree this is... It's a bit of ELP, a bit of Lucky Man. Thank you all for listening. Hope you have a good week. See you later.
What a lucky dog she was.
He had white horses and ladies by the score, all dressed in satin and waiting by the door. Ooh, what a lucky man he was. Ooh, what a lucky man he was. White lace and feathers, they made up bed, a gold-covered mattress on which he was led. Ooh, what a lucky man he was. Ooh, what a lucky man he was. People would sing. Ooh.